It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Hi, welcome to the Steve Gallimore Live program. My name is Tim Jennings, and I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm sitting in for Steve Gallimore today. This show is being broadcast live on over 70 radio stations around the country, on the Hope TV channel, and on the lifetalk.net website. If you are watching with us live today, we want you to call in with your questions. We're going to be talking about a very vital and interesting topic today, the law of liberty, how violations of liberty damage the mind. We want to talk about your cases, your scenarios, your histories, your experiences. We have a poll question for you today as well. And if you call in and get on the air today with us, we have a gift to give away for you today. And that gift is, could it be this simple, a biblical model for healing the mind? This book was published this year, just came out, sold out of its first printing, and it has been very well reviewed so far this year. We'd like to give two of those copies away today to two people who call in who will be drawn random from the drawing if you call in and go on the air with us today. The poll question we have for you today is, what percentage of women worldwide report that they were sexually abused as children? 10%, 20%, 30%, or 40%? In the news, in Winnipeg, Canada, the court convicted a man this week for domineering, controlling, molesting his stepdaughter since she was the age of 10 years of age. According to the Winnipeg Sun, the man raped her when she was 14 years of age and then threatened her with death if she told anyone about the abuse, saying he had killed his grandmother with a hammer. She said he controlled every aspect of her life, from the color of her hair to the clothes that she wore and the friends that she could see. In some ways, I find it analogous to an extended hostage-taking situation, said Justice Morris Kaufman. This is an exaggerated, perhaps overdramatic version of what happens to many women and children and some men in every country of the world. From Australia, the Herald Sun reports that teachers are annually reporting thousands of cases of suspected child abuse involving children aged as young as 5. God created us with individuality, with the ability to think and to reason. He has given us a law in his universe called the law of liberty. When I say law, I am not talking about some legislative enactment or some rule put in by a powerful potentate. This law is a law that actually governs our relationships, our mental and spiritual health. It's on the order of the law of gravity. Let's consider the law of gravity for a moment. Do you have to believe in gravity for it to work in your life? Do you have to know about it? If you were to deny that gravity exists, would gravity care? No, gravity is a constant. It works whether you believe in it or don't believe in it. The law of liberty is on this order. You don't have to believe in it. You may have never heard of it, but it is always working in your life. And let me go through a few scenarios to help you understand. And I want you to think about your life and how this applies to your life. And if you have questions, call in and talk with us. Answer our poll question. We'd be glad to put you in the drawing for this book. I want you to consider a young man who has met a young lady, and he's dated her for a while and has come to feel very fondly for her. And so he takes her out after becoming convinced that this is the woman he wants to spend his life with. He takes her out for a nice dinner in a restaurant, a walk in a park, and then gets down on a knee and proposes. The young lady feels fond for him, but is not quite as far along as he is. And so she asks for a little while to think through her answer, at which time the young man becomes insecure and fearful, and he stands up and he puts a pistol to her head and says, "Oh, look, I spent my time on you. I spent my money on you. You better marry me and you better love me or I will kill you." Now, this is an exaggerated scenario, of course, but if he were to do that, it points out the consequences that occur when liberties are violated. Consequence number one, what happens to love in this scenario? Does the young lady say, "Oh, finally a strong man I can rely on"? Does she have more love in her heart, or does love get damaged? The first predictable consequence when liberties are being violated in our lives are that love is damaged and eventually destroyed. Does the lady have a desire to go cuddle with this man or desire to get away? Consequence number two when liberties are damaged is that a desire to rebel is instilled. I want you to imagine you're out to dinner with your spouse, and your spouse and the waitress comes up and asks what you'd like to drink. And you say, "I'd like a Coca-Cola, please." But your spouse looks up to the waitress, not to you, and says, "She's not allowed to have Coke. You bring her milk." Does that make you love him more? does that instill a desire to rebel? There's a third consequence I'm going to tell you about in a moment, but I want to be sure you've got our phone number to call in. Our phone number here is 1-800-775-4673. 1-800-775-HOPE-4673. And if you have questions, call into our show today. Third consequence that happens if liberties are not restored is that over the course of time, our individuality, our ability to think and reason, our ability to come to our own conclusions is slowly eroded, and we become what I call a shadow person, a shadow of the person who we've surrendered our control to. Shirley came to see me depressed and discouraged, demoralized, making very little eye contact. It was difficult to get a history from her. Most of the questions were answered with, I don't know. She began to reveal slowly over time how she'd been in a marriage where she'd been physically beaten for more than 20 years. She told me a story about how her husband told her he wanted dinner ready at 5, and so she worked diligently and put the dinner on the table a little after 5, at which time he began to punch her, and he beat her, and he blackened her eye, and he broke her nose. And as he's hitting her, he's telling her, I hate it when you make me do this. Why do you make me do this? If you would have my dinner ready on time, I wouldn't have to hit you. I only hit you because I love you. I expressed some disgust at that story. And that's when she looked up at me and made eye contact with me for the first time, and she said, oh no, it wasn't his fault. If I would have had dinner ready on time, he wouldn't have had to hit me. Was Shirley thinking for herself? No. She had lost her individuality. She sees the world through the eyes of her husband. The third predictable consequence that occurs when liberties are violated is that individuality is destroyed and we become a shadow person. Violate liberties, destroy love, incite a desire to rebel, and if freedom isn't restored, we become a shadow of the person we've surrendered to. Call in with your questions, 1-800-775-4673, 1-800-HOPE. We'd like to hear from you today. We have two books we'd like to give away. You call in, you can be in the drawing for one of these books. If you have any questions, 1-800-775-4673. This is Dr. Timothy Jennings sitting in today for Steve Gallimore on the Steve Gallimore Live program.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
Are you struggling to make the right decision, friend? Do you need wisdom? God promises wisdom in His Word. One of the great promises, I believe, is found in the book of James, the wisdom book of the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 5. It reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Friends, God says He will give you His wisdom. But there's a catch to it, an important one, and that's in the next verse. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." So friend, if you need wisdom, ask God and do not doubt, and He will give it to you.
If you'd like to know more about God's wisdom, call 1-800-775-HOPE and ask for Discover.
Hello, welcome to Steve Gallimore Live. I'm Tim Jennings sitting in today for Steve Gallimore. I'm a board-certified psychiatrist, and I'm here to answer your questions today. We're talking about the law of liberty, the freedoms that God has given us. What happens when those freedoms are damaged and abused? We'd like to hear from you today. Our telephone number is 1-800-775-4673. We're giving away a book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. This book is designed to teach God's original design for our mind, what happened when sin entered that damaged our mind, and God's plan to heal and restore. It's a blending of the science and spiritual factors that God designed for healthy mental functioning and designed to help us to come to know Him better. We're going to give away two of these in a drawing for those who are on the air with us today. Our poll question today, what percentage of women worldwide report that they were sexually abused as children? 10%, 20%, 30%, or 40%? And if you would like to watch this show live, it's on the Hope Channel Live. It is on Life Talk Radio, over approximately 70 radio stations around the country. You can hear this recording live or this program live at lifetalk.net, or you can watch it on the internet at hopetv.org. Let's go to the phones. We have Charles in Alabama. Hello, Charles.
Yes.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a Sunday Adventist down here around Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
And I've had a very rough life. My grandfather was not an Adventist, but he was a politician. And if he got word when I was a teenager that I'd leave the state or leave the country, it had me locked up in jail.
Locked up in jail because you were wanting to leave?
Well, he thought I was mentally ill, and I may have some problems, but I was going to the Adventist College in England because I wanted to get away from his domineering attitude. My psychologist even called him a domineering patriarch. Well, it was a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist observed to me and my granddaddy, hey, you've got a domineering patriarch for a grandfather.
And how did that impact upon you? Did you hear that?
It destroyed my young life. That was my mother's dad, my granddad that was the crooked politician. But my dad went right along with him, and he was an Adventist. And they'd locked me up 11 times in the psycho ward.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did you find...
I definitely need that book on how to heal the mind, because I've gotten very discouraged. They've called me manic depressive and paranoid schizotypal and manic depressive. But they keep changing their diagnosis of me. But my grandfather used to beat my head in with a blackjack if I looked at him sideways.
Yeah, that's... And we weren't even yet talking about the abuse that happens in children, but you're talking about you had this type of abuse in your childhood, if I hear you correct. Is that right?
That's right. And when he died, he even disinherited me, my mother's dad.
Yes, and the abuse that happens in childhood. Christ talked about woe to those who should mistreat the little children. It would be better for a millstone to be wrapped around their neck and thrown into the sea, because severe things happen to children in childhood. Did you have a question for us today, Charles?
Well, what do you think I ought to do? I'm under the care of a psychiatrist, an Adventist psychiatrist right here about Birmingham, Alabama. But my question is, what can you do to finally leave some of that alone? My dad, not my mother's dad, the granddad, is who I'm talking about, was so cruel to me. He'd been a policeman and a deputy probate judge and a constable and an assistant tax assessor down here in the county.
Yeah,
that's
a great question, Charles. And in fact, what you know you're struggling with is that those traumatic events have become part of your whole life experience. It's hard for you to go through the day without them having some impact upon you.
They even shot me in 1979 because I tried to get away, and the police ran me off the road, and they thought I was grabbing for a gun. I was grabbing for my Bible to run with it, and
yeah.
They shot me in the back with buckshot.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that you do seek out a mental health provider that can help you work through some of these issues.
I've been under psychiatric care off and on since I was 19. I even carry my medication with me, but my grandfather, boy, he really gave me misery.
Well, we will certainly keep you in our prayers, Charles.
And I appreciate that.
All right, you take care, and we'll put you in our drawing, okay?
Yeah, I'd like to get that book, and I'll read it from cover to cover.
All righty, thanks for calling.
Sorry to take up so much of your time.
No, we're glad you called.
Bye-bye.
And I want to mention the trauma that happens to children, why it is so devastating to young people. Not only in childhood, children are forming their beliefs about the world, their pictures about themselves, the identity and the rules that they'll function with through life. But not only that, during the child developmental years, the brain is in its formative years. The actual physical structure of the brain, the neural circuitry, neurons are being kept, neurons are being deleted. And when children are abused in childhood, not only do they get unhealthy learned experiences, unhealthy self-images where they feel and think about themselves in unhealthy ways, but they also have wiring differences in their brain. The part of the brain that causes anxiety and worry and dread and fear is strengthened, and the part of the brain that's able to process and reason through things can be not strengthened as it should be, so it makes it more difficult for them to resolve these things in adulthood. That's why it's so important to get in a good treatment program with somebody who can help a person work through these difficulties. I want to offer hope to anyone who has been abused as a child that with proper treatment, their life can definitely be healed. And, of course, with Christ in your life, all of these abuses can be brought to a healing experience in your life where you can actually find peace regardless of the trauma that's happened in the past. Let's go to the phones again. Valerie in Pennsylvania. Hello, Valerie.
This is Valerie.
Yes, you're on the air.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Go ahead. You have a question, Valerie?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Pardon?
I am married to this man.
Yes.
He doesn't want to know Jesus.
Yes.
And he would not behave himself. I will get up in the morning and help that man. We had a farm, and I will go and help him milk those cows. And he will leave to go to the bank on a Friday, and he wouldn't come back until a Sunday morning.
Yes.
When he comes with his mouth full of lies. Oh, I got just up the street there, and I was looking for some money, beating his pocket, to go to buy some juice.
Right.
Well, I didn't tell that man nothing. I looked at him straight in his eyes, and I stepped on his toe, and I choked him in his eye, and I said, you are a liar. He's always going and gambling away all his money and come in and tell his kids, oh, I give your mother all the money. And when he gives me money, the money cannot buy food.
Valerie, did you have a question for me?
Well, that's what I'm telling you. I told you a statement.
Right. I guess I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry, Valerie.
What?
Oh, we're coming up on the break. Can you hold through the break with us, Valerie?
Okay,
we're coming up on a break. Yes, this is Tim Jennings sitting in for Steve Gallimore on the Steve Gallimore Live. If you'd like to call and be part of our show, 1-800-775-4673. 1-800-775-4673. And we'll be back with the Steve Gallimore Live in just a moment.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
Too often we're concerned about our relationship to God, and that's good. But we also need to think about God's relationship to us. John 3:16 is a key text, and we all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse is even more clear. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As Paul says, God is not against us, he's for us. He wants to save us, not condemn us. For Life Talk, this is Dr. Jack Linkle.
Hello. Welcome back to the Steve Gallimore Live program. I'm Dr. Timothy Jennings, sitting in for Steve Gallimore. If you'd like to be part of our show today, call our number 1-800-775-4673. We're giving away a book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We're giving two copies away. It'll be a drawing for those who get on the air with us today. The topic we're talking about today is the law of liberty, the law upon which love in this universe is based. We described that law earlier today, and now we're exploring what happens when that law is violated in our lives. We have Valerie on the phone with us, and Valerie has just described for us a situation in which her husband was somewhat domineering and controlling of her. Valerie, is there anything else you wanted to share with us?
Now, my last son, he said, I left him and go and didn't give him mother's tender love, and he is so violent. What is it that he needs? Does he need counseling? He's a grown man.
And he's violent?
He's so violent. He will not behave himself in the home. He's violent and said, I leave him and went and did not give him mother's tender love.
Yeah, I would certainly recommend if he's willing to go in and get some evaluation. Sometimes violence can be due to a medical problem. There are certain brain tumors that contribute to violence, certain medical conditions that can contribute to violence. And so I would certainly want him to go in and see his physician, get an evaluation, tell him he's having anger control problems, get a good physical to make sure there's nothing physical going wrong, and then his physician can refer him to a counselor or a psychiatrist or psychologist to help him work on the anger, control issues, and violence if there is no physical contributions to it. So I would start with his primary care physician and get a good evaluation. Thank you for calling, Valerie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You have a blessed day, and may the Lord bless you in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to join us on the air today, please call our number, 1-800-775-4673. We're going to the phones, and we're going to Ernest in Minnesota. Hello, Ernest. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
I just wanted to kind of make a comment and kind of ask a question to see if I'm on the right track. But almost a year ago, I lost my partner of 24 years. And I was a gay man living a gay lifestyle. And just right out, he died in January. And then in August or October of this year, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Good for you.
And I turned my whole life around. But what I realized was I had a discussion with a friend about it yesterday in a car. I had an appointment and we talked about it. And I told her that basically I felt that the reason why I was in the relationship in the first place, in the homosexual relationship, was because I was seeking love from a man that I hadn't received from my father when I was growing up. And so therefore, it seemed for me to be appropriate in the relationship. And I didn't realize after my partner died that I was so unhappy. That's not where I wanted to be. But I was seeking love from a man, to compensate for the love that I didn't feel I received from my father when I was growing up.
Yes.
So then so my problem is I have a lot of people who now tell me, well, you know what, don't you think you were born that way? And don't you think that, you know, that's just the way it is? And I said, no. I said, maybe I was confused when I was growing up and my tendencies, maybe had tendencies to go that way, but I had a choice. It was a decision I made. And this friend of mine, she's known me for a long time, and so I've had discussions with various people about it because they think it's just some phase I'm going through, and they think that that it was because my partner died and I flipped out, and that's why I decided to go the other way. So a lot of my friends now feel that way, but my old friends. But luckily, I got new church friends that understand, and they're being really supportive. Christian friends of mine that I've never had before that are being really supportive, so they're helping me through the whole thing.
And do you find that
I was in a relationship. I kind of could relate to what you were talking about because I was in this relationship that I was in. My partner beat me up a lot. I broke my nose 3 or 4 times, was constantly beating up me up, and I never told anybody till after he passed, and I kind of started going into, I started...
Hey, let me ask you a question, Ernest. When he was beating you up, what impact did that have on you over the course of time?
Well, it just made me kind of more despondent. I didn't care much about life, about my future. It just made me not trust anybody. You know, I felt like I always had to trust him.
Did you feel like your ability
to self-confidence?
Did you feel like your ability to think for yourself, your confidence in yourself, was slowly being eroded?
I always felt like I was a shadow. Not like a person. I always felt like I was just part of the machine keeping it going, you know. It's like, I always kind of stood in the back. I let my partner say everything, make all the choices, do everything. And I didn't want to say anything to upset him or get him angry.
I appreciate so much your phone call because your experience is evidence of what happens when the law of liberty is violated in our lives, when people dominate.
But like I said, the reason why I stood there and went, when I talked to people about it after, they said, well, why were you in that relationship for so long and why did you take that and all that? And then I said, well, it started because I didn't have that self-esteem as a child. And from that point on, everything eroded, because I didn't have that self-esteem. I got into a bad relationship, and I got into a wrong lifestyle because I didn't have that foundation as a child.
And I think your story is a wonderful story to tell us.
And it's interesting because my dad had, when I was a child, read the Bible all the time, and he believed in God, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And I think that's what the big difference is.
Yeah, no question about it, and I appreciate so much your phone call, because you've tied together for us how difficulties in childhood can set somebody up to have insecurities, vulnerabilities that make them vulnerable to allowing themselves to be mistreated as adults. Yet your story also shows us that even if we've been mistreated, even if we've been abused, even if we've been dominated, there is still hope. There is still hope for freedom, hope for restoration, hope for regeneration, hope for salvation in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I appreciate so much you calling us in today.
Exactly. But, you know, also, too, so what I want to say is not only partners and family can do that to you, but friends could also do that to you.
Absolutely.
You got to make wise choices. And then I just wanted to say that I found peace in Jesus Christ, and that healing is hope, and hope is Jesus Christ. And I do believe Jesus has the greatest love for us all.
Thank you so much for calling, Ernest.
Thank you.
Blessings.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. We are on this is Steve Gallimore Show. I'm Dr. Timothy Jennings, board-certified psychiatrist. We're talking about the law of liberty today. Ernest just talked to us about a traumatic experience, about how he grew up without feeling the love of his father, which contributed to allowing himself to get into a relationship in which he was being dominated and abused, which caused him to lose confidence. His individuality was being eroded. His ability to think and reason for himself, the consequences of violations of liberty destroy individuality over time if freedom doesn't occur. Call in and talk with us today, 1-800-775-4673, 1-800-775-4673. Join us on the Steve Gallimore Show, 1-800-775-4673.
Do you agree? Let us know, 800-775-4673.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I wanted to talk to you this moment for a few minutes about something that's very important to the chemistry of the body. Not a lot of people think about water, but water is so important to every chemical reaction in the body. Currently, in the United States, did you realize that 70 to 75% of people are chronically dehydrated? Yes, that's right, they don't get enough water in their body. Similarly, did you realize that 70% of your body is made up of water? So without adequate water, the body just doesn't function well. Now, I want you to think a little bit today about if you were out in the desert, if you went walking through the desert mile after mile, not drinking enough water, what would happen to you? Well, the first thing that would happen to you is your thermostat would go crazy. You wouldn't be able to regulate your temperature. The next thing, the chemical reactions in the mind might go off, and you might not think clearly. You might get confused, or worse yet, you might collapse. Well, when you don't have enough water in the body, the chemistry changes. For instance, your stress hormones like epinephrine go skyrocket. This can change your blood pressure. This also changes how your body stores and uses fat. So being chronically dehydrated at 70 to 75% creates a chronic stress on the body. Chronic stress on the body is not good. So a part of every treatment and prevention plan that we initiate depends on the important use of water. You must drink 6 to 8 glasses a day depending on your activities. Some people even drink more. Now, when you go to the doctor, you probably used to getting a prescription or tell them to exercise. Well, I think water is an important prescription as any medicine that you can possibly give. So today, I just want you to think about water as a treatment for good health. I'm Dr. James Markham, wishing you the best of health.
Hello, welcome to the Steve Gallimore Live program. I'm Dr. Timothy Jennings, sitting in for Steve Gallimore today. We are talking about God's law of liberty. We want you to be part of our show today, and in order to do that, our 1-800 number is 1-800-775-4673. This show is being broadcast live on the Life Talk Radio Network, as well as Hope Channel, and you can see it live on the hopetv.org website or listen at lifetalk.net. We're giving away a book. 2 books will be given away in a random drawing for those who call in and join us on the air today. It is Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. I wrote this book. It came out this year. It sold out of its first printing. If you'd like to purchase this book, it's available at Amazon.com. You can find it on our website at comeinreason.com or at any of the Adventist book centers. Let's go back to the phones, and we have Tammy in Oregon. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Well, what I wanted to ask you about, I have a husband who is been very controlling my whole life. We've been married 14 years, my whole marriage. And in the past year and a half or so, I have started to stand up for myself and my kids more. And my life has gotten more hell, if that's possible. And now he is, I feel almost more helpless because now he'll use the children or, you know, do whatever he wants with them. And then, and I have no control over it. And I'm always saying, I can't, there's nothing I can do.
Let's clarify something real quick. Okay, Tammy?
Okay.
All right. You have your own God-given individuality, ability to think and reason for yourself. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you ever feel responsible for your husband and what he thinks, feels, or does?
No, I don't feel responsible for it.
Good. Do you ever try to control it?
I feel like I can't do anything to change anything.
Right. And that is because your work, it seems like you're focused on trying to change what your husband is doing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's very helpful to clarify is that you're responsible for being the healthiest Christ-like mother and human being you can be. You're not responsible for how your husband thinks, acts, or feels. But when he is inappropriate, you are responsible for how you react or respond to that, what course of action you will take. Think about it like this. If you have a three-year-old child and your three-year-old throws a temper tantrum or throws a soup on the floor, it's not your fault, or you're not responsible for the fact the child did it. But once the child does it, you have to determine what course of action are you going to take. And so you have the ability to think and reason, evaluate the circumstance, the facts you're in, and set a course of action that you judge is to be most healthy given the circumstances. What I find people often struggle with is they actually, what they want is they want the other person to change. They want the other person to mature, to resolve their unhealthy behaviors and become a loving person. And so their interventions or their actions are designed to instill a change in the other person rather than accepting the fact that the other person is revealing to you who he is and how he functions and making a decision based on that reality. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes, did you have another?
So when you're in a position like this where you feel like you can't move, you feel like you're in quicksand, how do you get out of that quicksand? How do you make your mind do what you know you should do?
Well, first, you've already done some good things. You've recognized there's a problem. It's always, always important to have to recognize, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here, something's not right. And then stepping back to begin evaluating the facts and evidences themselves. What is the problem? Where is the source of the discomfort, the source of the difficulty? If you're having trouble thinking for yourself, counseling is appropriate. It can be with a family member. It can be with a pastor. It can be with a counselor. It can be with a doctor. But getting some outside input can also be helpful in helping clarify in your mind the issues. Ultimately, once you come to the conclusions of what the healthy course of action is, there will come a place where you have to actually make a choice to put into action what you've determined is the best course to go.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what I find that obstruct people from doing that is oftentimes the action that is necessary in the moment is emotionally uncomfortable to do. And therefore, people will avoid doing what's healthy because in the moment it's uncomfortable to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the battle that you're struggling with oftentimes is not necessarily a battle of recognizing with your judgment what's reasonable or healthy. The battle is once you recognize with your judgment what's reasonable and healthy, the feelings that you will incur within yourself to try and implement that course. And people who have been in relationships in which they've been dominated or controlled or abused or mistreated often lose confidence. They have lots of fear and lots of insecurities inside, which paralyze them from implementing the decisions that they judge are best.
Well, yeah, and that's what when you opened the show, what you were saying there was, it was just like, oh, my word, that's exactly what he's talking about. I just can't move. I can't do what I know I should do.
Yes, and if you look inside, it's because of insecurity and fear and doubt in yourself for having not necessarily implemented some decisions in the past that you've understood were right and reasonable to do. Mm-hmm. And all of us struggle with this. And in any situation, I'll say this to all of our listeners and viewers. If you're in a situation in which your judgment has come to a conclusion about what is the healthy course of action in any circumstance, and you allow your own feelings to overrule your own judgment, and thus you go with your feelings against your judgment, we always damage ourselves. Our self-esteem, our self-worth, our self-confidence falls. We become more insecure, more fear-ridden. We become more needy of external validation. We look to others to assure us and reassure us that we're okay because we doubt ourselves on the inside, and therefore we become more vulnerable to do it again. The only way out of a problem like this, Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. At some point, you have to get to the point where you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to follow this course of action because I understand it's healthy and reasonable, not necessarily because it feels good in the very moment I'm doing it. I'll give you an example. You have children, Tammy?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you ever take your children to get vaccines?
Yeah.
While you were doing that, did it feel fun for you and the kids to get that done?
No.
No, but you did it anyway because your judgment understood it was reasonable to do it, even though it didn't feel good to do it for you or for them while you were getting it done. There's an example of how you've already done this in your life, but we need to extrapolate that. We need to expand that to do it in all areas of our life where we follow the truth for the truth's sake, doing what's right, healthy, and reasonable, because it is right, it is healthy, it is reasonable. Any other questions, Tammy?
No, thank you very much.
No, you're welcome.
All right, bye.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We're going to Mitch in Pennsylvania. Hello, Mitch.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Dr. Jennings.
Yes.
I just want to take the time to thank you personally for the book, Could It Be This Simple? I don't have the time to tell you everything that this book has done for me, but I am sure that Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, has used this to bring me into a closer relationship with him.
Praise the Lord.
In my opinion, sir, you wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I received it, and I read through it twice immediately. It completely helped me to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And as you talked about in the chapter on faith, fact, or fiction, now, this is because of this book and many other reasons, but now, I live in the joy of receiving the presence from our Father.
Mitch, can you go through the break with us? Can you hold on? We're coming up on break. Okay, we'll be coming back in just a moment. Life Talk, 1-800-775-4673. 1-800-775-4673. We'll see you in just a moment.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
And every little girl wants to know that she's daddy's girl, and she wants to hear that she's beautiful, and she wants to be held in her dad's arms and told wonderful things. And my dad just wasn't that kind of man.
You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation.
To the Steve Gallimore Live. I'm Dr. Timothy Jennings, board-certified psychiatrist, sitting in for Steve Gallimore today. And we're talking about the law of liberty, God's law that governs our relationships and the health of our mind. We have been taking phone calls, and right now we have Mitch on the line from Pennsylvania. Mitch, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so Mitch, go ahead and finish your comments or questions.
As I said, my comment was just about the book, Could It Be This Simple? I received it, and I read it through twice. And it has absolutely helped Jesus to have me have a closer relationship with him. The book is absolutely wonderful. It needs to be made available to the masses because I am sure I'm not the only one struggling with these things, and I just wanted to thank you personally, Dr. Jennings, for helping me to have a closer relationship with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You're wonderful. You're welcome, Mitch, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us, and God bless you.
Thank you again, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we are giving away two copies of Could It Be This Simple. For any of the callers who are on the air, we'll have a drawing for two copies of this book, Could It Be This Simple, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. You can find this if you'd like to purchase this on Amazon.com, our website, comeandreason.com, and any Adventist Book Center or any major bookstore you can go into, and they can order for you with the name of the book or my name. We're going back to the phones. Marcia in Minnesota. Hello, Marcia. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, I really appreciate that you're talking about this. It doesn't get talked about enough at all, and especially not in Christian circles, that people can be abusive and controlling. And I had a couple of comments. One of the things I wanted to say is, you know, Tammy's experience points out something really important. I'm a family practice doctor, so I've dealt with some of this stuff in the past as well. And sometimes when you confront someone who's being abusive and controlling, that can actually make their abuse escalate.
I agree with you.
And they're really not in control of their behavior. And so sometimes it's really important, like in Tammy's case, she needs to really think about if she needs to remove herself and her children to a safe distance before she starts challenging her husband. And then, you know, we can, I really believe people sort of treat us how we allow them to. And so we really can influence how people treat us by being respectful to them and expecting them to be respectful to us. But sometimes when someone is in a really abusive and controlling situation, the abuser is really not in control of their behavior, and they really need help from the outside. You know, a treatment program for domestic violence, there's one called Binding the Wounds that Ron and Nancy Rocky do that I think is really good, but most shelters have some kind of a program. But sometimes before you even suggest that, you really need to be in a safe place, because abusers actually kill their families. And
you are bringing up some incredibly excellent points. There's no question about it. And I'm sure as a family practitioner, you've seen some of these things happen.
Yes, I'm sorry to say that I really have. And so, you know, so confronting people front on without anybody there to protect you is not always the best idea.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I was trying to suggest that Tammy use her own judgment to evaluate the situation and follow the course of action which her judgment determined was the most healthy, which might very well be what you're suggesting, removing herself and her children from the situation before she confronts, where she's a safe place where he can't actually act out to seriously harm or kill the family. I think it's a great point.
Right, but, you know, I would like to hold out hope. I have some really dear friends that I didn't get to know until they were actually in recovery, but the husband in that family used to be physically abusive to his wife, and the wife's father was physically abusive to his wife and children, and still is to his wife, because he never got help, but they got help. My friends got help, and they have a happy marriage now. It's probably better than most other people's marriage because they really did work on it. And it did take her just standing up and saying, "You can't treat me this way anymore. I will not allow it. You have to go get help."
Excellent, excellent. And as we talk about that, you know that sometimes husbands will use the Bible texts like, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands," as a way to domineer and control their husbands. And I've had patients, many of my patients who have been in this situation, who've come in, where they've been afraid to stand up because they say, "Well, I'm supposed to submit." But you know, and I know, that the Bible actually says husbands are to treat their wives as Christ treats the church, sacrificing himself for her. And so the wife is called to submit to Christ-like treatment from her husband. And if she loves her husband, she recognizes that when he mistreats and abuses her, he's actually damaging his own soul, endangering
Absolutely.
His own eternal destiny. And so in love, she stands up in the way that is most appropriate given the circumstance, possibly by removing herself first, but stands up and confronts the situation to give an opportunity for healing. I think you made some incredibly good points.
Yeah. Oh, and just to answer your question, you know, it's been a while since I've looked at the statistics. I'm sure it's at least 30%. I sure hope it hasn't gone up to 40 at this point, of women who've been sexually abused in their lifetime. So it just keeps climbing. So I don't know, but I think 30 is where we are right now, and I hope it doesn't go up a whole lot more. But anyway, I really appreciate you talking about this.
Thank you for calling in so much, Marcia.
Sure.
All right. You take care. God bless.
You too. Bye.
This is Dr. Timothy Jennings sitting in today for Steve Gallimore and the Steve Gallimore Live program. If you'd like to join us on the air today, it's 1-800-775-4673. 1-800-775-4673. Give us a call, 1-800-775-4673.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Nowadays, there's a lot of signs out there to help you if you get lost. There are signs that'll tell you to go left, some will say to go right, and even more will tell you to do both. Eventually, you will come across signs that are hard to understand. You may have seen some of these signs before. They tell you to go left, then right, and in the end, you are right back where you started. My favorite are signs that draw your attention away from some important piece of information, like the road being out ahead, and you never reach your final destination. You know, the road of life can be a lot like a real road. We can get so busy with what we are doing that when God sends signs, we completely miss them. Oftentimes, we pray for signs and then close our eyes to any sign other than the one we want. All the while, God is sending us signs. And unfortunately, we miss them because our eyes aren't open to other possibilities. On the road of life, listening to Jesus' voice and keeping our eyes and ears open is one of the most important skills we can acquire. Get to know God. It won't cost you anything, but it could cost you everything. A message from LifeTalk.
Did you miss part of or today's entire program? Did you know that LifeTalk makes every Steve Gallimore Live available for download? All you have to do is go to lifetalk.net and click on our podcast link. Under Steve Gallimore Live, you'll find the video on demand icon. To download the programs, left-click, hold and drag the icon onto your favorite podcast software, such as iTunes, then release. It's just that easy. Once you've downloaded Steve Gallimore Live, you can watch a show at your convenience. Here's the best part. When you subscribe, new programs will automatically download. Simply go to our site, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast link. There you'll find detailed instructions and other programs now available for download. Once again, that's lifetalk.net for Steve Gallimore Live and other LifeTalk podcasts.
Welcome back to the Steve Gallimore Live Show. I'm Dr. Timothy Jennings sitting in for Steve Gallimore. If you'd like to join us on the air today, it's 1-800-775-4673. And we are talking about God's law of liberty, the principle of freedom which governs our relationships. We're giving away, as a free gift, two copies of my book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. For those who call in, we'll be having a drawing for this. If you don't get in the drawing and you'd like to get a copy of my book, it is available on Amazon.com. It's also available at my website, www.comeinreason.com, as well as the Adventist bookstores or any major bookstore you can go in and they can order it for you. We're going back to the phones and we're going to Shirley in Oregon. Hello, Shirley, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Shirley?
Oh, just great. For 20 years of my life, my married life, I was beat so far down in the ground that I would apologize for making him beat me.
Yes.
Well, I got away from that. And now, even now, and that was 25 years ago, was for the last one. And it left me with three wonderful Christian doctors to help me, even now, because I have migraines still. I can't focus or concentrate, and I have so many mental pills, I can't hardly handle that. What should I do? How can I help me now?
Do you feel like you have forgiven him for all the things that he's done?
Yes, but I still remember.
Remembering is different. Remembering is different. As long as there's not the anger, resentment, bitterness toward him. The other question I have for you, what you can do is practice always thinking, reasoning for yourself, coming to your own conclusions, and implementing your conclusions that you believe are best, even if people around you that you care about disagree with you. If they disagree with you, ask them to explain their reasons. Ask them to persuade you with evidence why the course of action you want to take isn't appropriate, and then reasonably reflect on it in your own right. But one of the difficulties people have after they've come out of an abuse situation, even though they've left the abusing spouse, oftentimes they continue to perpetuate a pattern of behavior where they look for other people's validation of their decisions, other people's validation of them, rather than actually stepping out into the full stature of their own individuality and autonomy.
Oh, yes, that's very helpful.
Good, good. Any other questions, Shirley?
Well, I don't think so today.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
Okay, we're going back to the phones. Ginny, and I'm not sure where... Yes, Ginny, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay, welcome to the air. This is Dr. Jennings on the Steve Gallimore Live. You're on.
Okay, I would just like to say that... Well, I was in an abusive situation. I'm not in anymore. I left my husband, who was physically and verbally abusive with me, and I couldn't leave him. And a lot of people wonder why a person that's being abused can't get out of that situation. And I think it's because you're, like you said before, your self-esteem gets beaten down so low that you feel there's no place you can go, or that you're not worth anything, so you don't even try to get out.
How did you get out, Jenny?
I'm sorry, what?
How did you get out?
The way I actually stepped out was that I had an appointment with one of my doctors, and they knew something was going on, and we started talking about it. And there was a crisis center in the same building, and my doctor, actually walked me up to the crisis center, and they helped me go through the procedure of, you know, getting ready to leave. And when I left... I wouldn't have been able to leave, but my husband had been out of town was going to be out of town for 4 days, and that morning he had left, and I left when he was gone.
Do you remember during that day when they were walking you over there, did you have some feelings of fear in leaving your husband?
I was very fearful of it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You were on a course that was going to result in your freedom, your autonomy, your recovery, your health, but yet somehow you were struggling with feelings of fear that were trying to hold you back into a situation that would actually have destroyed you if you'd have stayed.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful, your history is so poignant for you to share with us today, because there are many listeners out there that are in situations just like that, where their judgment, they know that they need to move on into a healthier situation, but they also have these terrible, intense feelings that are tempting to paralyze them and keep them in a destructive situation. I'm so glad that you got out.
Yes, I've been out for a few years now, and I've noticed that I've grown spiritually better. I've grown mentally, my mental state of mind has gotten better.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is not possible to have love in an atmosphere without freedom. And since you've got freedom back, now you're growing in God's grace and God's love. Praise the Lord for that.
Yes, I thank God for it.
Did you have any other comments or questions?
No, I was just going to say, about the percentage of people or women being abused, I think it might be up to 40% by now, too.
Well, you know, it depends on what part of the world. I'm going to go ahead and give that data since you brought it up. It depends on what part of the world, but the data we have in this particular study, it said worldwide it was 20%. But other sections, it's actually higher than that. So it really does depend. I think, you know, depending on where we're looking. But I appreciate you calling in today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to the phones. We're going to Layman in Idaho. Layman, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you today?
Okay, I'm doing good. You're on the air.
I'm on the road, so I'm a driver.
Okay.
I would just like to say that I've been happily married for 43 years, and I am, at times I feel like I'm being abused because of my wife. My wife is a very loving and understanding person, but we're both Christians. We both go to church, and we both both worship God, and we live by His word. But at times, I feel like I'm being abused mentally, not physically or anything like that. But mentally, I feel like I'm being abused, and I don't know how to really handle the situation. I'm trying to be forgiving and overlook a lot of things, but I know I need to approach these things, these issues, but I really don't know how.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called. First off, because I wanted to affirm you in calling to let people know that women are not the only ones who are abused in marriage relationships, that men can also be abused or dominated or controlled by their female partners. And so I'm so glad you called in to bring that dynamic out, and oftentimes it can be a mental abuse. An analogy I gave earlier of a gun to the head, most people don't use real guns. They use what I call emotional guns. Insults, attacks, criticisms, griping, sniping, and you feel this pressure. If you don't do what your spouse wants, then you're going to have to hear it. You're going to have a price to pay, and so you feel this pressure to conform to what they want you to be so that you can actually have some semblance of peace in your home. In that situation, however, you lose yourself, you lose your confidence, you begin to see the world through their eyes, and it's just as damaging. So I'm so glad you called in. I wish I could share more with you. Unfortunately, we're coming up at the end of our hour, and we're running out of time. But I want to thank you for calling in, Layman.
Well, thank you very much, too.
All right, you take care, and blessings. Let's give out the results of our drawing for the book. We're going to give the drawing to the book. It goes to Tammy and Shirley in Oregon. Tammy and Shirley in Oregon are going to get this book. Just to wrap up, for those who would like to get the book and didn't get the drawing, you can get this at comeinreason.com. Amazon.com, Adventist Book Centers, or any bookstore can go in and order for you. Could it be this simple, a biblical model for healing the mind? God has ordained this universe with principles that govern our health and welfare. If we violate those principles, then predictable consequences of damage and destruction occur. One of those principles is the principle of liberty. Violating liberty always results, violating freedom always results in the damage and ultimate destruction of love, the installation of a desire to rebel, and over the course of time, if you don't get out, it will destroy your individuality, your ability to think, and to reason. Seek God, His methods and principles, and apply those principles to your life for healing. This is Dr. Timothy Jennings for the Steve Gallimore Live program. We thank you for being with us and a part of our show today, and we wish you God's blessing in your life. Thank you for calling and being a part of our show today. May God bless.